Glory.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
Ha ha ha. We have a particular direction to go to today. So if you would, turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. We actually ended last week by reading some verses from 2 Peter 1. And when we finished up, it just seemed good in my heart to look a little bit more at this passage that we have here.
Yes.
As my husband just said, we don't miss things in life because of the complications of, we miss things in life because we are missing it in the basics.
That's right.
In the foundation, the fundamentals. Right. And all of the word is incredible. We can just say that. All of the word is incredible. But as we get into different passages and pick some things apart, we start to see how foundational or how basic some of these things are. And if we're not careful, we'll just read over some things and think, oh, well, I know that.
Yes.
But sometimes it's good to just kind of pick at some things, and you know what I mean by pick at. You just keep going. I'm not a really good overall cleaner, like house cleaning. I do it because you have to clean your house, right? But you should clean your house. But it's easy for me to get fixated or stuck in one spot.
Yeah.
You know, you can say, oh, that's really dirty right there. And the next thing I know, an hour's passed and I've been working in one corner, and I look and I'm like, well, there's a whole lot more house to go, you know,
like
sometimes you have to do a general cleaning, and that's a good thing. But sometimes you really should get in the corners and really pick at some stuff and make sure that you're doing things. So that's what we're going to do a little bit in the coming weeks, I believe. But let's just read over this passage first. It says in 2 Peter, well, let's just start in chapter 1, verse 1. It says, Simeon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now, just these two verses, which is not what we're going to get to today, but they're incredible. This is Peter introducing himself, right?
Yes.
Saying who's writing the letter, who he's writing to. So Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, we understand Peter was one of the 12 disciples, right? That followed Jesus, that learned from Jesus, that sat at the feet of Jesus. Peter, wow, he had a personality, didn't he? He did things all the way, whether it was right or wrong. He was an all the way kind of guy, you know, right? Let me come out, walk on the water. Woo, all the way, right? You know, and when Jesus said, it's time for me to be crucified. It's time for me to do what's called. He said, oh, no. We're going to kill them all, Lord. We're just going to take them down. And, Jesus had to put Peter in his place, right? He had quite the personality. But now Peter says this. He says, I'm a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, and I'm writing to you, those who have obtained a faith, look at this, of equal standing with ours.
That's big.
We could camp here for a minute. I mean, there's whole bodies of Christians, groups of believers, let's say, that think that the 12 disciples, or they don't even say the 12 disciples, they just say the apostles, because they include Paul, who wrote a lot of, they include Paul in that, this category of people that could do things and could say things and could believe for things from God that the rest of us can't, because they were the apostles.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. But Peter says here that those who have obtained faith, that you've obtained a faith of equal standing as ours.
Yes.
What does that mean? It means what they did, we can do. What they were a part of in the very beginning, we are to be participating in that same flow. And he says this, you've obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. What's he saying? Jesus made us equal. Mm-hmm. Jesus, yeah. His redemption, what he purchased for us in redemption, what he did, he became sin so we could be made righteous.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
All of us. Anyone who has faith in Jesus has been made righteous.
Yes.
And because of that, we have equal standing.
Yes.
With people like Peter.
Yeah.
One of the apostles.
Right.
One of the 12. One of the disciples that sat at the feet of Jesus. That means that we can walk in the same power and revelation and knowledge that Peter had. That's amazing. And so, you know, sorry to the millions and millions of Christians who don't believe that, but according to the Word, which we tend to believe over people's opinions,
yeah, sure.
Right? We should believe the Word first. Because we've been made righteous, we have an equal standing.
We have equal standing.
Praise God. Praise the Lord.
That's good.
So this is Peter the apostle writing to believers who have been made equal. Not just to Peter. We're not just equal to Peter. We're actually equal to Jesus as far as we have Jesus' righteousness. Wow.
Right.
Whoa.
Amen.
Whoa. That's amazing. Now,
yes.
None of us are the Son of God. Thank God. We only need one of those.
Yes.
But because we've obtained the righteousness of God, we can walk in a level of victory.
Amen.
We can
Amen.
Walk
yes.
in a level of knowledge that and of faith that is amazing. It's amazing. Praise God.
Amen.
So he goes on. He goes on, realizing that he's writing to people that have been made righteous. He's writing to people who can walk the same walk that Jesus walked, who
yes.
can walk the same walk that the disciples have learned to walk. So these are the people that he's writing to, and that should be us.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
We need to think of ourselves that way. And in verse 3, he says this. He says, his divine power has granted to us,
yes.
who's us? Those who have been made righteous,
yeah.
right? Those who have obtained a faith that's equal, in equal standing to those of the disciples. His divine power has granted to us all things.
All things.
Yes. Oh, yes,
you
yes.
can just stop right there and get
yes.
excited, right?
Yes.
His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness.
Amen. Yes.
He has provided for us. He has granted us by his divine power. How many believe that God's divine power is pretty good?
Yeah.
Right? Right?
Yes. Amen.
His divine power is pretty accurate, pretty powerful. You know, it can get the job done, right?
Yeah. Yes.
You know, it doesn't have a weak link. In his divine power, you know, I got home yesterday and I was checking that, you know, and now we have apps, we can check the temperature in the house before you get there kind of thing. I was checking and it said connection is lost. And so this was for, we have a place in California and I was making sure that everything was correct when we left. And so I checked and said, connection is lost, and it means the power went out. So the internet was down. Or either the power went out or the internet crashed, which happens out there. And so because the power went out, the connection went down, I couldn't do what I needed to do. You understand God's never had a power outage.
That's right.
He's never had, you know, the bars of the Wi-Fi tick down to just one and you just can't, you know, it takes forever to download what you need to see. You can't, you know, you can't, I want to look at what this says, but I can't because it won't download. No, God's never had that problem. His divine power is always there. It's always on. It's always full bars, right? Always 100%. We're never, he's never maxed out. It's not like you prayed and you prayed at the same time and he's like, okay, I've got to put you in queue. You know, there's five people waiting to get their prayers answered. And so, you know, your wait time should be approximately 20 minutes. You know, and you don't get that with God. Why?
Amen.
Because his divine power is able to handle everything that comes at it at the same time. And that divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to this life and to godliness.
Amen.
Wow. Wow.
Amazing, amazing.
Amen. Yes.
But we'll notice that as we go through this passage, there are some qualifiers. Not on the divine power, but there's qualifiers for us to access this power, to partake of this power, to receive of this power. In other words, the power plant is always there, but if the connection doesn't seem to be working, we've got to look at our part.
Amen.
Right?
Amen. Amen. Yes.
So his divine power has granted to us all things. Huh.
All things.
We're just talking about meditation and, you know, while we're taking the offering. I mean, you just wouldn't meditate on that. Oh, Lord, we need this. Well, that's something you can talk to the Lord about. We need this.
Sure.
But what about, Lord, you've given us all things.
You've given us all things.
And you've given us all things that pertain to life and godliness.
Yes.
You've already provided all things.
Yes.
So when we come to God in prayer, this is so not my subject, but it's good. When we come to God in prayer, meditating on the fact that it's all there.
Yes.
It's already there.
Yeah.
Amen.
You know, when I go to Costco, I don't expect it to be empty.
Amen.
Right.
Yeah. That's true.
I expect all the things that Costco has to be there.
Yeah. Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And if they're out of something, it's like major bummer. Like I made a trip to get here, right?
Yeah.
For this particular thing. It's unusual for Costco to be out, right?
That's right.
Why? Because they have a reputation of being a warehouse, right?
Yeah.
Being fully stocked.
Yes.
That's how they earn their keep, so to speak, how they earn their members' allegiance, you know, by always being full.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
How much more God?
Amen.
Yeah.
And so often we go to God and say, oh God, I really, you know, I kind of need this. And, you know, could you see to it? Could you try to just see if you could work it out for me that I receive this, that I get this? We've got to realize God's given us, he's provided for us all things.
All things.
It's already stocked. It's already there.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
And when we come to God and realize, Father, you've already provided this. So I just want to come and specifically say thank you for this.
Yes.
There's one thing that hasn't really shown up in the natural yet, but you said you've provided it.
Right,
it's already there. Yeah. Your divine power is already granted it. So I want to come and just say, thanks for that new car. Thanks for that new thing that I need. Thanks for that. It's such a blessing to know that you've already provided for me.
Amen.
And I can live this life the way I need to adequately.
Yes. Amen.
Yes.
To fulfill what you've called me to do.
Yeah.
Praise
Amen.
God. So
Amen.
I just thank you that you've already granted it. And I'm just going to walk around thankful
That's right.
yes.
that it shows up.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Amen.
That you're dealing with whoever you need to deal with to cause that to come to pass in my life. Praise God. Because he'll use people to fulfill what we need to have done in our lives. So his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. But it comes through something. It comes through the knowledge of him.
Amen.
Who called us to his own glory and excellence. And that's exactly what we were just talking about. If you don't know he's provided all things, if you don't know that he's made it available, if you don't know what the Bible says belongs to you, you'll never reach for it.
That's true.
You'll never ask for it. You'll never look for it, right?
Yeah. Right.
You'll just hope. Oh, God, I hope you do something. Well, he already did something.
He
sent Jesus.
Yes. Yeah.
And Jesus purchased our redemption. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. So, he's called us to his own glory and excellence. Sounds like what Peter said, where you've been raised to an equal standing of ours, right? You've been called to his own glory and excellence.
Amen.
By which he granted to us his precious and very great promises. What's that? His word?
Yes.
His word. Yes. His precious and very great promises, so that through them, through the word, through his promises, you may become partakers.
Yes.
Partakers of the divine nature. Oh, whoa, this sounds really deep, doesn't it? Like, partakers of divine nature?
Amazing.
I thought that was just only God's God. Yeah, God's God. But Jesus made us righteous.
Yeah.
Ha. So now we get to partake of him by walking in his righteousness.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, 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 yes.
And because he's made us righteous, we get to partake of all that he's provided. His divine power is granted to us all things. So, praise God.
Amen.
Yeah.
He's granted to us his precious and very great promises, his word, so that through those promises, through the word, through the knowledge that we gain from this word, we can become partakers of the divine nature.
Yes, yes.
Having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. Aren't you thankful for that? Glory to God. What does that mean? Escape the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. Listen, the world does silly stuff, right? They go after stuff. They go after stuff, right? Physical things. They go after things that they think they desire because their flesh wants it. They cheat, they lie, they steal, they do things in a worldly way, we would say, because they don't know any better.
That's
true. Right? They see something their flesh wants and they do whatever it takes to get it. And he says, we've escaped that. Glory to God. Those of us who have been made righteous, those of us who have been brought into glorious light, those of us who now are part of the body of Christ, a believer in Jesus, those of us who are now partakers of his divine nature. We don't do things the way the world does it. We don't do things because of sinful desires. We've got a better way.
Yes, we do.
Ha. Amen.
We got a better way. It doesn't mean we're not going to have stuff. He already said, he started by saying, I've already provided all this for you. It's already available for you. It's just we partake of the things we need. We receive the things that we need on this earth through his realm, it's his spiritual realm, through him. If I could say it that way, through the knowledge of what he's already provided for us and how to access that, through his promises,
by
meditating on his word. Praise God.
Amen.
Having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. Verse 5 is really what I wanted to look at. Glory. For this very reason. What very reason? Everything you just said.
Yeah.
For this very reason, make every effort. Make every effort. I thought the Lord said, I've already provided everything for you. He has. Through Jesus, he's provided us an amazing, vast supply of everything that we'll need in life and in godliness.
Yes.
Right? That could be, you could say, in natural things and in spiritual things. Right? He's provided it all. And yet, we are to make some effort.
Yes.
What? Because we partake of these things, we gain these things, we access these things through knowledge of his promises, right?
Yes.
And so there's some effort involved. Why do we come together on Sundays? Because we're digging in to this word. We're gaining knowledge. We're gleaning things. Every time we come together,
yes,
the Spirit of God is working on our behalf to enlighten us.
Yes.
Help us,
yes,
to see things. It's not just a matter, I mean, it's good at home to open up your word and read the Bible, but it's something about coming together and somebody ministering the word and light bulbs go off,
yes,
on the inside,
yes,
and we start saying, oh, that's it, I got it, all right. And we go home and we meditate on these things and we partake of these things and we progress,
yes,
in the things of God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith. What's a supplement? An extra, right?
Yeah.
We take, in the natural realm, a lot of people take supplements, meaning they take vitamins, right?
Yes.
What? That's adding to what you'd get through your,
yes,
food or drink throughout the day.
Yeah.
Why? Because unfortunately, at least in America, our food isn't all that power-packed. Let's say that.
Right.
Let's just leave it at that, right?
Yeah.
You know, the Cheetos just don't have as many vitamins as some of the other real food, we might say, that is available.
Yeah.
And so for many, we take supplements to add something, to help nourish or supply a particular area. They might say, if you're low in energy, you know, take B12 or something. You know, the doctor's gonna say, yeah, it's good to eat this, and this, but also I want you to supplement. I want you to add some more in this particular area to help your body flourish the way the way it's designed to. And so, Peter here, he found it very important. He's saying God's provided so much for us, but we need to make every effort to supplement our faith. Supplement your faith with certain things,
yes,
meaning just having faith in God, which is good. It's good to have faith in God, right? We're believers. We're to have faith in him. Faith in what he's able to do, faith in what he's provided. We are to have faith in God, but that alone isn't enough.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yes.
Amen.
Ah, praise the Lord.
That's right.
And so Peter lists here seven things that will help us supplement or add to our faith. So I'm just going to read through them real quick here first of all. It says, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue,
yes,
and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. Verse 8 says, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. So these seven things that are listed here, they must be important. They must be important because he says if we need these qualities to be in our life and increasing.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
For us to be effective.
Yeah.
I'm all about being effective.
I want to be effective.
Yes. I really, really don't like wasting time.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
I just don't like wasting time. Maybe because I'm getting a little bit older. And you start to realize there's not as much time left to waste here on this earth, right? Right? So I want to be effective in what I do, effective in living for God, effective in what he's called us to do. And Peter's telling us these qualities, these seven things that we just mentioned are essential to our faith life. Mm-hmm. In order for our faith to be effective.
Yes.
Yes.
Now, I've heard, we of course were just out in California at Pastor Nancy Dufresne's conference. I've heard her minister on this subject, and I love how she illustrates this, so I'm just gonna use hers. Why not?
Amen.
But she talks about how if our faith is a bridge, right? What is a bridge? Takes you from one place to another,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
If our faith is a bridge in our life, getting us to what God has for us,
yeah.
These seven things that we just listed are pillars to that bridge, okay? They hold up the bridge.
Wow, that's good. That's good.
Oh, I don't know if it's still a thing. I remember when Donald Trump was president, he was trying to get together some kind of package to restructure some of our roadways,
yeah.
And our bridges and things like that. He would get up and he had a way of saying things, but he'd say, you know, these are so old and so decrepit, right? These bridges and things. Why? Because they were built back in the great deal. What was it? The big deal? I don't even know what. FDR.
FDR.
You know, at the end of the Great Depression, trying to get people out. He was putting America to work. And he built all these roadways, these highways, and all these bridges. And great idea. But, you know, eventually you've got to check up on the bridges that you have, right?
Yeah.
Make sure that the pillars, that the stanchions, whatever it is, the cement towers that hold that bridge up, you better make sure they're still strong.
Yeah.
That they're not corroding,
yeah.
That they're not, you know, cracking in certain spots. Why? Because when you put the weight of cars on that bridge, you have to have faith it's going to stand up, right?
Amen.
And when our whole life is to be a life of faith,
amen.
From one faith project to another, if we could say it this way, but you know, God, I see you have this for us. So here we go. We're going to step into this, but it's, you don't barely get to the finish of line of that particular project before he's showing you the next thing you're going to be doing in life. Right.
Amen.
And we better be sure that when we step out on that bridge of faith, that there's strength underneath it, holding us up,
yes.
Buoying our life, that we know when we step out, we know God's faithful, right?
Yeah.
Peter said, you know, this isn't really God's thing. He's already given us everything. You know, his divine power has already provided stuff.
Yeah.
But we need to make every effort. We need to make some effort in our lives. What is that? We've got to take these areas and inspect them.
Right.
Time for a little inspection, right?
Yeah.
We're going to be a bridge inspector today. To go around some of these foundational ideas and say, what does that mean to me? What does that look like in my life? Am I strong? Have I fortified this area in my life?
Amen.
And obviously, we're not going to get to all seven today. We're going to look at the first one that he mentions, Praise God. And it says, for this reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue. Other translations say excellence.
Yes.
Or moral excellence.
That's right.
Excellence or moral excellence. That word virtue is actually the same word in verse 3. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. He wants our excellence to look like his excellence.
Wow.
Come on.
That's so good.
Yikes. I don't know about you. I don't know that I've measured quite up to his excellence, because he's excellent, right?
Yeah.
Right? But it's the same word, meaning Peter's expecting us to look at our lives and say, is our excellence, are we making every effort to be as excellent as God?
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah. Wow.
Ha! Moral excellence means that our standards, our character, that which we do in our life is excellent.
Yes.
It has a noticeable goodness to it, right? Where people look and go, oh, that's different than the way most people do that.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And this excellence is not just about how we conduct our prayer life. It's not just about how we read our Bible. Mm-hmm. Moral excellence carries us in every area of our life. It's
Amen.
It's how I am a wife to my husband. I'm going to be morally excellent in that relationship. Mm-hmm. It's how I'm a mother to my children. It's how I'm an employee to my boss, right? It's how I step out into the community and help take care of them.
Wow. Wow.
This excellence is supposed to encompass our whole life. Not just a compartmental part, not just one part of our life. We don't have a Sunday morning Amy and a Monday morning Amy.
That's right.
Oh,
yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good.
It's got to be the same one.
That's right. Yep.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Right?
That's good. That's so good. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for helping us.
Amen. Moral excellence. excellence can be seen in the world.
Yes.
When I think of excellence, I think of, because I went to a music school, a conservatory actually, where everything was excellent. You weren't allowed to make mistakes. In that school,
yes.
If you wanted to be promoted, if you wanted to get the solo, if you wanted to, you know, be first chair for a string player or something like that,
yeah.
You had to be excellent.
That's right.
For a musician, that meant perfect.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Excellence for a musician is not just getting the notes right.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, I won't say real musicians, for many musicians, they read music, right? Like we would read a book. There's music written out. And to be excellent, you have to, if you're singing it, you have to sing those notes, not other ones, right? What's written, you have to do that. But it's not just the melody, it's not just following what's written there, note-wise, meaning your voice goes up or down, depending on, you know, but it's not just hitting the correct notes, but there's also something called rhythm, right? You know, sometimes you hold the note long and sometimes it's short, and if you're reading music, you've got to follow the correct rhythm. You can't make up your own.
Right.
I personally have had problems with this in my life. Praise the Lord. My teacher just looked at me, no, that's not it. What? So there, what am I saying? There's layers. It's not just one thing.
Right.
It's not just getting the melody right or hitting the right notes, but you got to follow the rhythm. But it's not just that.
No.
Now we've got something called dynamics, meaning sometimes you're supposed to be soft, sometimes you're supposed to be loud.
Yep.
Sometimes you're supposed to crescendo, get louder.
Yeah.
As you're singing, sometimes you're supposed to decrescendo, get softer. And all of these things require practice. And then there's phrasing. If I'm talking to someone, there's going to be pauses. There's commas, right? You're going to give a break. And it's the same with music. There's phrases. You don't just blah, 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 blaze through it, but there's going to be phrasing. And there's all different levels. And an excellent musician nails it in all of these categories,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
Not only that, an excellent musician puts every effort to get every category right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And excellence, even in the world, carries something.
Yes.
It carries a spirit about it. It carries something where we went to see one of my favorite piano players. Recently, we actually flew to Minnesota to go hear this man play. Why? Because he's excellent.
Yes.
Meaning, he puts not just his technical practice into it, he puts his whole being,
wow,
into, yeah, what he does.
Wow.
He has perfected it. He has practiced it. He's gone over it and over it. But when he gets out into that performance, his whole body and soul is a part of that music. And that comes out through his playing.
Excellence.
Is noticeable.
Yes.
It's, I don't want to say tangible, sometimes we use that word, but you can step back and go, wow. And you're like, wow, that's so close. Real excellence speaks.
Yes, mm-hmm. Amen.
Real that's excellence true. Speaks. I don't want to get too technical, but it's just very interesting. If you ever go to like Disney World or Disneyland,
mm-hmm,
and you're grumbling about paying $150 for a ticket, but you walk in and you're like, oh, that's why it costs so much.
Yeah.
Because everything is excellent, right?
Yes.
If the world can do that with their craft, with their profession, with their amusement park.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
If the world can do that, how much more, yes, should the people of God be?
Absolutely.
Excellent.
That's right.
And again, this is not just about being excellent with the word, we should be. It's not just being excellent in prayer, we should be. But this carries over into our whole life,
yeah,
this excellence.
Yes.
And this pillar of excellence holds up our faith.
That's right.
It helps our faith life. Praise God.
Amen.
We didn't even get through the one pillar. We're going to have to go back because there are people in the Bible that show us examples of excellence.
Yes.
And I want to take the time to look at these because Peter said we shouldn't like put a hierarchy in our brain of like, okay, we have the apostles, they were way up there, they knew things that we just can't. And then you have, you know, the early disciples, they were great. But, you know, we're so far away from when Jesus was here on earth that we can, you know, we're just kind of squeaking things out. And
right,
hopefully, you know, Jesus will return and we'll get out of here and things will be good and everything will be okay. No. He expects all of us because he's paid for all of us,
yes,
to live,
amen,
his divine nature.
That's right.
To partake of him. And he's excellent.
Yes.
He's,
yes,
excellence.
Yes. Amen.
And he's invited us to make every effort.
That's right. Amen.
To partake of this excellence, to walk in this excellence, yes, to be a part of him who's excellent. Mm-hmm. Praise God. I'm going to wrap it up here because there's just, I want to give this the place it needs. So we'll pick up here again next week. Praise God. But have we received something this morning?
Yes.
Let's meditate on these verses this week. Just read through those first 4, 5, 6 verses and meditate on those. There's so much in here. And we won't take the whole time on each of these pillars, perhaps. Who knows? But we want to give honor to these things and pay attention to these things. And even if they seem basic, so important, so
yes,
important to our lives.
Yes. Yes.
So why don't you stand to your feet. Father, we're grateful today for the time we've had together.
Yes.
We're thankful for your word. We're
thank
so grateful.
Lord. Yes.
Lord, open the eyes of our hearts. Help us to see and to know all that you have for us,
yes,
all that you want us to partake of. And Lord, help us be an inspector this week of this pillar of excellence. Show us and help us to know where we can come up in different areas, where we can do better. And by your help and your grace, we can walk these things out.
Yes.
We're thankful for it today. In Jesus' name, amen.